For Indiana farm news and weather and a recap each day on the markets, it's the Hoosier Ag Today podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 27th of August, 2025 with the Wednesday podcast, along with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller with the news today, including what's new in equipment at the Farm Progress Show, which opened yesterday, and details on an individual infested with New World screwworm. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin includes slightly warmer air, beautiful conditions continue, and the grain markets quiet and mixed yesterday. We'll have numbers and Tom Fritz market analysis on the Hat Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Some of the new equipment featured at the Farm Progress Show and a human case of New World screwworm in the U.S. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, the Farm Progress Show is going on now, and it's full of new equipment for the farm. And even though Eric Pfeiffer was not allowed to drive any of it, they did let him sit on one new piece of equipment and talk to someone who knows more about it. Eric?
Thanks, CJ. If you're headed to the Farm Progress Show, you can find Can-Am at the corner of 11th and West Progress Avenue. And once you're there, take a look at the new Defender HD11. They say this is the best Defender yet. Simon Cazalet, Vice President of Marketing for Can-Am.
It's a new engine, new chassis to bring more performance for the heavy task, the heavy load. Also, reduce maintenance requirements on this new platform. One of the most important things that farmers were, you know, telling us, which, like, more performance HVAC, more silence in the cabin. If you drive this, you can talk to your neighbor. Like, it's super quiet when you work on your property.
And why do farmers need one of these utility vehicles on the farm?
Farmers, depending on the size of their operation, have their, you know, their big machinery, but they need a Defender to move around their property with their tools, with smaller piece of equipment, to move people around. So they need that Defender for that purpose. They, you know, and let's be honest, this is also a fun machine to ride. So they use it during the weekend too. So it's for work. It's built for work. It's the most durable platform out there, but it's also a fun product to ride.
Of course, they have other products here to take a look at as well.
One thing we're super proud that we launched last week is the new Outlander Electric. That's our ATV Electric. That's the first mass-produced electric ATV out there. We also launched our 6x6, also super useful for farmers.
You can visit our website for more info and a link to the Can-Am website. We'll have more tomorrow from Farm Progress Show. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Decatur, Illinois.
It's your voice, your values, your Farm Bureau. As a nonprofit member organization, Indiana Farm Bureau is committed to standing up for agriculture, advocating at every level, and educating for the future. Rooted in rural communities, driven by members like you, be part of what's next. Visit infb.org to learn more.
Well, you've been hearing quite a bit lately about the New World screwworm in Mexico and in Central America and the harmful impact that the pest can have on cattle, horses, and other animals. But the CDC announced that a person from Maryland was recently found to be infected with New World screwworm.
You know, from what we understand, it was an individual who had made a trip to one of the countries in Central America, came back, had some pain, went to seek treatment, and discovered that they were infested with New World screwworm larvae.
That's Colin Woodall, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
But we do know that the protocol worked, and that individual was treated and the larvae were destroyed. And while, yes, it's surprising to see that that particular story, you know, it's not shocking.
And even though this recent human case is something the cattle industry is monitoring, Woodall says it does not present a risk to the U.S. livestock industry.
We are taking a serious approach to protecting ourselves from New World screwworm. The things that we're looking at is, one, did the protocols work? And it's obvious that the protocols work.
USDA has closed off imports of cattle from Mexico and Central America to prevent New World screwworm from coming into the U.S. and possibly infecting America's beef and dairy herds. Read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Taking a look at the setup here, we've got another beautiful day in store for us for your Wednesday. Temperatures a little bit warmer than yesterday, but overall still very pleasant, low humidity, and cooler than normal. I do believe this pattern is going to give way to some slightly warmer air, actually some warmer air sliding from the southwest into the region for tomorrow, but that's also ahead of a frontal boundary, so this is going to be interesting. Temperatures are going to be warming up a little bit. We do see a chance of showers and thunderstorms emerging over Michigan through the morning hours tomorrow, actually overnight tonight through tomorrow, and then we see those come down into northern parts of Indiana through tomorrow midday, afternoon, and early evening. I think most of the action is going to be ranging from a few hundreds to about two or three tenths, and most of it's going to be north of US 24, but I'm going to extend a potential zone for pop-up scattered showers all the way down to I-70. I think by the time we get to Friday, we are back into dry air, but what that front does do is usher down a reinforcing shot of cool Canadian air. We're quite pleasant, quite cool for the entirety of the Labor Day holiday weekend. Good sunshine, excellent chances to be outside. Temperatures warming up for next Tuesday and Wednesday. Southwest flow returns to the region. It is still summer after all. Even though Labor Day is done on Monday, I do not believe Labor Day is the official end of summer. It goes at least through September. That's just Ryan Martin's soapbox. But you get the idea. Temperatures warming up nicely for Tuesday and Wednesday, and that will be ahead of a frontal boundary that comes through next Wednesday night through Thursday. At this point, the front looks to have anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch of precipitation, about 80 to 90% coverage. So I think this is a front that everybody can maybe partake in. But the front also ushers in another round of cooler Canadian air. And this time, it's not just for the Great Lakes. We see this cool air from Canada shift all the way down into the Central Plains, Kansas, and northern Oklahoma, the Missouri Valley. So it's impressive. Everybody's going to feel a little bit of cool air as we move toward the end of next week. Below normal temperatures here for Friday the 5th, Saturday the 6th, Sunday the 7th. And then for the week of the 8th, we're looking at a mostly dry setup right now, seeing a significant round of moisture developing back in the Intermountain out in west and southwestern United States, but I think it's going to take just a little bit to try and get all the way here. In the meantime, I can tell you that the week of the 8th warms up significantly. We're back to easily summer-like weather conditions across all of the region. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mixed and quiet. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and final numbers are coming up from a very flat day overall. We get comments first from Tom Fritz of EFG Group in Chicago. I spoke with him late Tuesday. Just a little lower in corn and just a little higher in soybeans and wheat. Looks like maybe beans got a boost from higher soy meal. Not much happening, though, overall in the markets on a Tuesday, Tom.
No, you hit the nail on the head, Andy. Just a lot of mixed stuff out there. Call it stuff, if you will. I think the corn market's easier in response to the better than expected weekly condition report. You know, the Pro Farmer Tour told us that, you know, we have potential for a great corn crop out there, but a lot of disease is starting to show up. Whereas this condition report that we saw yesterday from the USDA, well, they don't give you any rhetoric behind what they're seeing or behind what's being reported to them. And but conditions came in a little bit better than expected. So I think that weighs on the market a little bit. But, you know, despite the Pro Farmer yield projection being, I think it came in a lot lower than what most people were thinking. You know, the USDA's at 188.8. I think a lot of guys were thinking 184, somewhere around there. But to come in at 182 and change, that was a little bit surprising. But the market reaction is so far that, you know, they don't think the market reaction is they don't believe the USDA will come down to that level anytime soon, despite the reports of disease. Now, we do notice that bull spreads are working today. And that's a little bit interesting considering that first notice day for the September contract is Friday. And the rule of thumb is nobody wants September corn. Well, okay, so why are bull spreads trying to work? Well, interior basis levels, a lot of them are under pressure right now. But the Gulf basis has been showing us some improvement. And I'm trying to wrap my hands around that, and I'm not really sure what it's all about because we've got the southern harvest in full swing. When I say southern harvest, I'm talking about the Delta. And they've had a pretty good crop. So it's a little bit interesting as to why the bull spreads are working. Normally that's a precursor to the idea that flat price isn't going to go much lower than what today's easiness is trying to show us. But, you know, I think we've got a big corn crop out there. And from a technical standpoint, the market ran into resistance with, you know, the rally we saw last week. And right now the market is honoring that resistance. We know we've got a big speculative short in the market. And right now we really, you know, don't have anything that would say, hey, you need to cover those shorts. So, and also I'm noticing that Brazilian corn export sales are starting to increase noticeably. One outfit down in Brazil that tracks that is suggesting that for the month of August, Brazil will have exports of very nearly 9 million tons. So that's you have to think that that's going to cut into the U.S. exports, especially when we have harvest around the corner. So it'll be something to watch. And, you know, right now at this point in time, I think the corn market is going to get stuck. I don't see appreciable downside, but then again, I don't see appreciable upside. So we'll go from there. Wheat market, I have no clue why Chicago wheat is higher when Kansas City wheat is noticeably lower, Minneapolis wheat is noticeably lower. Usually when we see something like that, the hard wheat, since the hard wheat, whether it's spring or winter, is the majority of the wheat we produce. And if that's lower, that's usually going to be the leader as far as the Chicago contract is concerned. But last week, the Chicago contract registered a key reversal, and so far it's holding true. Now, yesterday, the wheat export inspections, probably the highest that I can remember. Somebody said it was the highest since 2013. Well, if you look at the breakdown, a big chunk of it, almost 20% of it, was white wheat. So maybe white wheat is hedged in the soft wheat contract. I'm not sure. But, I think if the hard wheat Kansas City contract continues to move lower, today's new contract low closes. I have to think that Chicago trying to stick its nose up is maybe fail in that regard. Soybeans, it's it's a push-pull game. Initially, beans were lower on the better-than-expected crop conditions. But we're moving into a dry period when we need moisture. It's cool. That's going to slow down the maturation rates. of the last maturity cycle for soybeans. So I'm not sure what that's going to do, but I know we'd like to see some moisture for pod filling. And right now, I'm not really seeing any for the next 10 days. So, you know, that's a supporting issue to soybeans, offsetting the better than expected condition report we got from the USDA yesterday. And then plus we got a lot of push-pull between the soybean oil, soybean meal. Soybean oil, I think it's down in response to crude oil being down nearly $1.50 a barrel, as well as last week the EPA came out and said, okay, here's how we're dealing with all the requests for exemption on production. And they showed who they were going to exempt, who they weren't going to exempt, and all that. But they did not lay out how they were going to reallocate production elsewhere. And that's negative to the market, because if they don't reallocate all these exemptions, well, that says production for biofuels is going to be down. So I think that weighs on soybean oil, as I mentioned, along with the lower crude oil market. Soybean meal, it's a strong cash market right now. Meal's getting support from intermarket spreading. You're either long bean oil, short meal, or vice versa. It's a huge trade, and today we saw the soybean meal getting support from the lower soybean oil, but also cash market for soybean meal has been pretty strong lately due to processor downtime, and it's basically about maintenance for the coming season. So beans are subject to this push-pull, but I will tell you that the rally we saw last week for soybeans went up to some, I'll call it the low side of some significant looking technical resistance, and the market is honoring that resistance right now. So soybean market right now is just doing some backing and filling of the recent rally, but it may advertise we're moving into a trading range, but bottom line is the soybean market needs export business, and we just don't have any. And Brazil is still exporting the daylights out of their soybean crop. They're projected to export nearly 9 million tons for the month of August. We have some routine business. When I say routine, the normal customer, but we don't have any Chinese business. And the other day, some Chinese guy came out and said, problem you guys don't have any business is because your country is moving towards protectionism, and that's not going to get you any new business. So that was a little bit of a slam against our president. But the bottom line is, we need some Chinese business. We're moving into harvest, and usually the last quarter of the fiscal year is when we rely on some pretty big business, and so far none of it's showing. So given the fact that soybean market is honoring the resistance level with the rally we saw last week, it tends to question, where can soybeans go from here without some better export business? And some push-pull between the finishing, the finishing weather we have for soybeans, the lack of business we have for soybeans suggests the soybean market is stuck. Very similar to corn.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On the Hat Tuesday, Farm Market Review, September corn loses a penny and three quarters, dipping to 387 and a half. Dees 409 and a half, down 2¾. The bean market up just a little. September 1028 and three quarters, up 3¼. And November 1049 and a half, up a penny and three quarters. And September wheat 509 and a half, up 2¾. The meat market's strong. October live cattle, 238.20, up 137. October lean hogs, up $2.02, 93.42. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.